You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
2-2 to Seager. Fly ball, right field, deep, deep, deep. Gone! There we go! Kyle Seager with a three-run jack, and the Mariners have an 8-6 lead.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Japan rejoices. It's a glorious new day as Hideki Matsuyama has won the Masters Tournament.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Miami does it again. The league's best defense holding teams under 100 for the 19th time this season. That's a league best total for Miami.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app. I am Brandon Sprague. That is Andy Dirt Johnson.
What is happening?
Happy Monday, everybody. Good morning.
Happy Monday. You guys have a good weekend? Everybody have a good weekend?
I had a great week, and I...
good couple of days?
I played a par three.
Oh, okay.
And then I played yesterday out at Red Tail. I watched the Blazers suck butt.
Look at that. Yeah, they did suck a lot of butt last night.
Who cares about the Detroit game?
Yeah, I didn't watch a second of that. Can I be honest with you? Yeah.
You didn't watch any of it.
I didn't watch a second of it. And you know what? Wow. It felt great. I had...
It felt great.
It felt liberating, great. Isn't it?
It was very liberating, man. Yeah. It was. I went to brunch on Saturday morning, and I had a cocktail early. So I was like, all right, day's off to a good start.
You got hammered.
I got home, and then I had a couple of buddies that were like, hey, you guys want to meet up for a beer and watch the rest of the Masters? Like, yeah, sign me up, man. I'm in.
So you're already hammered.
All right, I'm having a good day. I had a great Saturday of day drinking. Then I got home, and I realized I've kind of been incognito today, so I should probably let the wife do what she wants to do. And she had turned on some, like, you know, Hawaii House Hunters or HGTV crap. I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to fight this tonight. No. I'm just going to sit here. I'm gonna enjoy a beer, and we're going to watch some Hawaii House Hunters. I'll check the box score every 10 minutes, and they won in a blowout fashion. You know what? I'm glad I didn't watch.
30 rebounds.
30 rebounds was cool.
Yes, 30 rebounds. That was cool.
I'm glad that I didn't watch, because that game meant absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it meant zero.
If they won, great. They're supposed to win. If they lose, oh, my God, fire everybody.
They did exactly what we said they would on Friday. We were like, they're going to clobber Detroit, easily win. People are going to freak out because they beat Detroit. Well, actually, I don't even know if people freaking out. I think people are kind of where we're at.
I think the majority are.
I think the vast majority of people either didn't watch that game Saturday, or they kind of hate watched it. They went, oh, you guys are capable of being a good team. Right. Oh, this is great.
Right.
Who cares? You beat Detroit.
The canter thing was cool. I'll give you that. 30
rebounds.
The canter
thing was awesome.
That's pretty cool. I never thought that I'd see 30 rebounds in a game.
So two things that upset me about Terry Stotts.
Okay, let's launch right into it today.
No, I'm not even going to talk about yesterday's game. Two things that have upset me the most about Terry Stotts, aside from the consistent bad defense.
Yeah.
Okay, except for that thing.
Yeah, being historically bad on that side of the ball. Got it.
The CJ McCollum Chicago Bowl game still pisses me off. And I have to go back, but do you guys remember that one? They were clobbering Chicago 2 or 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
They were up big. I think of 25 or maybe more. And CJ, I believe, was either at 39 or 49 at the end of the third quarter. I think it was 49.
You wanted him to go for 50
and he didn't
60.
Play him at all in the fourth quarter. Now, the counter argument is people hate coaches that play players when they're up big.
Why is he still in the game?
Man, why are you playing him?
Yeah.
I know that argument exists, and it's going to come rear its ugly head to this. But when a guy is cooking, I want to see him go. I want to see him finish the dish. And CJ McCollum that night,
I believe, could have got 60-plus points the way he was playing the ball. And Terry didn't play him at all in the fourth quarter. That upset me.
Okay, I'm trying to find the game log because I'm curious how many points he had and at what moment in the game it is. But please continue if there's anything else that bothers you.
The second thing I completely forgot as I was ranting about the first thing because the first thing upset me so much. And if I remember the second thing, I'll let you know.
Bring it up. That's like when you get managers that take pitchers out with a no-hitter after six innings because we got to protect his arm.
I hate that.
His arm's going to fall off. It's like he's never going to have this opportunity Terrible. Again, likely the rest of his career. We do this all the time with young pitchers and acting like no-hitters are a regular thing that, he'll have like four shots at it this year. Like, that is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, man. And you're going to take him out of the game because you think his arm's going to fall off if he throws another 30 pitches? That kind of stuff drives me nuts.
I think he had 50. I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
And I think it was the game he scored 50.
Yeah, here it is.
By the end of the third quarter.
It was on January 31st. This was like 3 years ago. And he played 29 minutes. He was 18 of 25 from the floor. He had 50 points.
He couldn't miss. I remember watching this game. I mean, he was in fuego. And he didn't play him in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, you can't see if he can get us 20 more. Let CJ go for 70.
Right. Or even 10 more. 60 is a big deal.
60 would have been awesome. 50 could have had the career high of the Blazers.
Yes. Getting to 60 is a whole different ballgame right there. They only ended up winning the game by 16 points, too. So it wasn't like it was a 40-point win. I'm sure probably the backups let some of that lead go. But, yeah, he had a chance at it, and he only played the first three quarters.
I only watched half of the fourth quarter of that game, by the way, on Saturday.
I mean, I'm glad. It felt great. I needed a break, man. This team is depressing. I can't remember the last time. Honestly, man, like the beautiful thing about basketball and baseball, and some people disagree with this, but the beautiful thing about both those sports for me as somebody who loves watching them is there's always another game. And there's always another one to look forward to. This isn't the NFL where there's one a week and you only get 16 of them, now 17. It isn't college football where you get 12 and the season's over in the blink of an eye. They go on forever, but I like watching them, so I don't mind that. And if you have a bad taste in your mouth or if you know they have a bad loss one night, well, guess what? They're back to playing the next night. And that's the beautiful thing about both these sports. But when you get to the point where you're leading into those games and you're not excited to watch them, it's not a good place to be. And that's where I was on Saturday. I was not in any way, shape, or form excited to watch that game. And it felt great just to take a break. And then, of course, I dive back in last night, get excited about the first quarter, and then you look up at halftime, they're down by 10. I've seen this movie before.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we did a great job of cutting away a little bit.
You got to keep your distance from time to time.
I was thinking about this over the weekend. You think about the sports, because largely we talk the most. I know right now for some it's maybe a little basketball heavy. I get that. But we talk NBA, a little college if the teams are doing well, like Oregon. Oregon State had great runs this year.
Yeah, they did.
So we talk hoops. We talk NFL, college football are big parts of our show. And then there's like the subparts where we don't talk about them, but you have to follow it just enough to where when you do talk about it, you can talk about it.
You know what's going on.
And so like there is an angle of, you kind of have to read the environment of what's going on in sports to determine, I don't need to watch that.
I thought I'm going to take a break from that.
And my conclusion Saturday, and it sounds like it was yours, it sounds like it was Swigard's, was Saturday didn't matter. We knew you were going to win that game by 15-plus, and if you didn't, you either struggled to win it or you lost. I could have missed that game and it still could have been worthy of a conversation because what the hell is going on there? Oh, the second thing that upset me about Stotsy.
Okay,
just
remembered. Okay, got it.
Why did he not force feed and make sure Ennis got a 30-30 game? He finished with 24 points.
He had 24 at the end of the night.
24 and 30, and I understand why and when he took him out.
Sure.
But there was a part of me that said,
dump the ball to him. What are we doing?
You just need three buckets here. Just let him go get them.
And that you could get those if you're Cantor in like 45 seconds, man. That doesn't take long.
Especially against that garbage team in Detroit.
Quick offensive rebound and a putback. Throw it down. Give him a low post move and the low block. It's an easy bucket. Yeah, that's a valid point. How many 30-30 games have there been in NBA history?
Wilt's probably have 90,000
of
them.
The modern NBA history.
I think Moses Malone had a few.
Okay, okay.
You think Shaq had one? Maybe David
Shaq
Robinson?
Shaq probably. Hakeem might have had one.
I'm going to look this up now. 30-30 games in NBA history. Kareem, of course, has a ton.
Dwight Howard got one.
Dwight Howard, okay.
He actually had one for the first time in 36 years.
Really?
Oh, when no, the second 30-30 game in the last 36 years. This is when Dwight Howard had it in 2018.
Yeah, I'm looking. Jerry Lucas, you going, and Moses Malone, did he had one. Kevin Love had one.
Yes, he did.
And Will Chamberlain had 128.
128. 128-30-30
games.
Side note, I've come to a conclusion. I like playing a Red Tail.
Okay.
It's a good course.
You like, you're a Red Tail fan?
I thought it was in great shape because the weather's been great. But
yeah, this week, I think after this week, every course in the entire area is going to be in great shape.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying it's better than all the other courses. I played it yesterday and I quite enjoyed it.
Well, it's nice finding little courses you like.
I know.
Little gems.
It helps when you play well, too.
It totally does. That is, I've had conversations with this, with buddies about this. That's probably 40 to 50% of your opinion of playing a course the first time.
Yeah.
If you play terribly and you have a bad round, the course could be immaculate. You're only going to be like, yeah, I mean, it was an all right course. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, but what's the course that owns you, that frustrates you, but you love it? Like, mine is probably Chehalem Glen.
Yeah, mine's Eastmoreland.
Yeah.
I up on that course. I played that course a million times. I know every angle you're supposed to hit. I know every shot off the tee. I know everything about that course. Can't play well, and I love going back there.
Well, we have different opinions of what play well means for you and I.
Sure. But I've never broken 80 at Eastmoreland.
How awful.
I know. It's tough out there.
I wish, I don't. I haven't broke 80 in a while.
It's a hard knock life, man.
I'm with you, though. I hate play that course. That course eats me alive. Right? You've seen me have some bad moments on that course.
You had a Jordan Spieth moment on Thursday. You smack them off the tree and they're going backwards.
Oh my
God. We're going in the wrong direction here, man.
I had an 11 on a 4 one time at Eastmo. I hate play that course.
Somebody said it's like an ice cream shop. Seeing all the flavors is exciting, but at the end of the day, you're getting chocolate, vanilla, or strawberries. So what's the point, man? This is true. I don't need that Spumoni Saturday night. I'm ordering chocolate on Saturday, and guess what? It didn't taste good because you lost again.
That's what makes the Spaghetti Factory so awesome. You get Spumoni because you never order Spumoni. Well, we got a busy show today. Mike Richmond's going to join us at the Daily Ticker today.
I'm sure we're going to be in a great mood for that entire segment.
Give you an idea where the Blazers are at. Mike Richmond did a post-game pod. I don't know if he's done that before, but he solicited tweets and everything. So he went in on the Blazers last night. And we'll talk about them coming up at the 7 a.m. hour, but we'll start every show. We got the Masters to get into today. We'll start the show today, as we always do, with the Morning Crunch. Dirt and Sprague, happy Monday to everybody out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Out there, we're back with the Crunch on 1080 The Fan.
Pour the milk.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast.
Part of a nutritious breakfast?
Hamburgers. Hamburger. The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for the Morning Crunch. A look at the tastiest topics in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
All right, welcome back in. The Morning Crunch brought to you on The Fan by our good friends out at Crunch Fitness. Multiple locations in the area. Beaverton, Alloa, Division in Vancouver. As low as $9.95 a month. Why would you work out anywhere else?
I'll be at the Glorious House of Gains today, baby.
Let's go. For more information,
fire them cannons.
Go to crunch.com.
Boettcher hits it on the ground towards short. Armstrong boots it, and Boettcher is safe. Oregon sweeps the Beavs. Betcher puts it in play to the shortstop. Armstrong can't handle it. He beats out the throw. Hanoian scores. Oregon wins 5-4 in 11.
You sipping your tea over there, Swigard? You okay? That's Joey Mack, Oregon Sports Network, on the call. The Ducks.
Well, well, well.
Sweep the Beavs in 11 innings. Duck fans think they have a baseball program
How
now.
How the turntables have turned.
get you three of these.
Look at you guys, huh? You're not a baseball school anymore? We're a baseball school? Wait, hold on. How does this work?
We're a basketball school.
The Ducks stay!
Is that how it works? Is that what I'm supposed to do?
Hashtag Ducks stay!
It was nice to beat the Ducks. Is that how it works? Am I doing it right?
Boy, I saw a tweet from somebody we follow on the show page said the Beavers should fire Mitch Canham. We're already there.
Whoa.
Oregon State fans are already there.
Calm down. Yeah.
Ground ball to shortstop. Kim will go to first. The San Diego Padres get their first no-hitter in the history of the franchise. And it belongs to San Diego's own Joe Musgrove, sending the Friar faithful into a frenzy.
Bally Sports, San Diego Padres TV on the call there. Yeah, Joe Musgrove threw a no-hitter. The first one in Padre history, which I didn't know they didn't have a no-no.
There's actually a Twitter account that was Padres no-hitter. There was like a Padres no-hitter Twitter account that counted the number of days and games that they had, obviously, every day in games since the organization was created. And then he tweeted after this happened, like, so what do I do with this account now? Do I keep it going?
Does it just go, no. Yes? No.
I don't know what to do here.
Now, cool moment. And if you heard it there, that was not a home game. They were on the road in Texas, and Texas is so awful that the entire stadium was cheering for him as if they were the home team.
Dude, he's a San Diego guy, too, which is a really cool story. First one in franchise history is awesome. And just a hat tip to that organization for giving him a shot. We've already had, at least off the top of my head, two no-hit situations that pitchers have been pulled early on in games, like in the sixth or seventh inning. What are we doing here, man? This is history. It's a chance to chase after something that you might not ever get an opportunity to do again in your long MLB career. Shout out to the manager for letting him have the chance, and he finished it off. Awesome story.
We'll play this down the right touchline. Header is in. Lucy! Tyler Lucy doubles the Portland lead.
And the service from out wide for both teams have proven to be difficult to defend. This time, it's Lucy just times it well.
Yeah, there's CBS Sports Network on the call. Portland Thorns, let's get thorny, baby. They beat Kansas City 2-1. Raquel Rodriguez with a goal.
Suck it, Kansas City.
8 minutes in, and then Tyler Lucy with a goal as well, and they went 2-1.
Look at the Thorns, man. This was, if I'm not mistaken, the first game, too, with, like, fans in the stands in the area.
In the Portland area, yes.
Right, we haven't had any of that stuff. So great to see. The Timbers will be back in action tomorrow, but just nice to see fans back at a game, and hopefully all the other teams are soon to follow.
I mean, I worked hard, you know, in 26 years to rehabilitate myself. And in the process of doing that, I just embraced the attitude that I could be more than what I was, you know. And once I embraced the attitude that I could be more than what I was, then it was time for me to tell other people, you can be more than what you think you are.
Do you see this story? This is one of the cooler stories to maybe fly under the radar a little bit. For those that missed it, Aaron Taylor got to call the PA for the Warriors. And what's special about that is he was in San Quentin. He was in prison for 26 years for robbery and assault with a deadly weapon. And while there, he completely transformed his life. As you heard there, rehabilitated himself. And he says the two things that kept him going in prison were God and basketball. He actually served as the PA and play-by-play guy on the yard for basketball games in San Quentin.
Yeah.
And he just recently got out. The Warriors heard about this. And this was one of the cooler stories. Kudos to the Golden State Warriors. They brought him in and they allowed him to do PA for a game. He did the post-game interview with Steph Curry. Great moment.
It was a really cool moment, and he and Steph kind of embraced at the end of the game, and he got a little teary-eyed. Steph said something to him. Really cool when you can do something like that for somebody who's completely turned their life around, has a close connection with the community. It was a really cool moment.
Oh, I'm looking here at the Morning Crunch audio. I only see one baseball thing. Wonder what it is.
No Giants sweeping the Rockies? Come on,
no,
man.
No, it has to be this.
Oh.
And the next pitch swung on, popped up, shallow left field. Ozuna coming in to make the catch. Boehm is coming home. The throw not in time. Darnold had it on a bounce and tried to lunge at Boehm for the tag, but Boehm in just ahead of it as the Phillies have taken a 7-6 lead. They have made the ruling, and the call will stand. The run will score. And the Braves are livid, and the crowd is livid, and Brian Snitker is livid. He's coming out on the field. He's going to get tossed.
It's clear that his foot didn't touch the plate, that it was on the chalk. Everyone saw it and sees it. You know, everyone knows it. And for MLB not to overturn that, it's embarrassing. You know, why even have replay if you can won't overturn that?
Amen, Drew Smiley. He rips Major League Baseball there. Snitker gets tossed. Dan Shulman, ESPN Radio on the call. The Philadelphia Phillies beat my red-hot Atlanta Braves, who had won four straight coming in. 7-6 in the ninth. There was a tag up at third. Ozuna threw it to the plate. And the base runner for Philly, he just straight up missed the plate. He had a good slide. His foot just didn't touch. Darnold tagged him, and they somehow replayed it and didn't come to that conclusion. The run scores, and Philly beats Atlanta 7-6. At this point, I think Swigar's just trolling me because my team blew a 3-1 lead in the NLCS and gift-wrapped a World Series to you, but they lose.
I mean, this was the trending topic one of the trending topics on Twitter last night.
It was an awful moment.
I saw somebody make a good joke on Twitter, say, hey, baseball's back, baby. We're trending. You just need controversial calls and national television games to get people to pay attention. It doesn't help the sport either that this was the Sunday night game. So people were watching it on ESPN. It wasn't like it was a random MLB TV game. And I don't have anything else to add other than what Drew Smiley said. If you have instant replay, the whole point is to get the call right. And his Boehm's foot clearly didn't touch the bag. Anybody with a set of eyes can look at it, watch the replay over and over again, and see the foot doesn't touch the bag. He's clearly tagged. He doesn't score a run. But for some reason, Major League Baseball refused to overturn the call.
Yeah, I saw a Brockmeyer interview on Colbert because I listened to the first Brockmeyer podcast.
He just started a podcast, yeah.
By the way.
Is it good?
He's so good. He had a moment where he's like talking about the Mets, how much he hates the Mets. He's like, the Mets are the Yankees at not being the Yankees.
That's a great
But line. On the Colbert show, he said he was asked about the Atlanta All-Star game being moved. He basically is like, I thought it was a good moment for baseball. The two most American things, racism and baseball, coming together. And he basically just said, yeah, anytime baseball is being talked about in a positive way, they have an alert go off to where they could cancel it.
Always something.
And change everything for themselves, no
always
doubt.
Always something.
Oh. Thanks for putting that in there, Swigard. I effing hate you.
Well, first, I don't necessarily want to concede that we're in a funk. You know, we had a good game against Detroit. We lost two games on the road against two of the best teams in the West. So I wouldn't call it a funk. I give credit to Miami that they played well. I'm reluctant to say that we're in a funk. I guess I can't answer that question if I don't believe the premise.
Yeah, there was Terry Stotts. We'll have more coming up here in the 7 a.m. hour. As Jason Quick, our Fan Blazer insider, Andy of The Athletic, asked Terry Stotts, look, they're in a bit of a funk. They've lost four of their last five. You know, what's going on here?
How is that not a funk? What am I missing here? You're getting blown out every time you play a good team.
I think that's going to be kind of the point at 7 a.m. is... feels like it's coming soon.
It doesn't feel good right now.
It does not feel good right now, that's for sure.
And now, for the first time, the land of the rising sun has a favorite son wearing a green jacket. Hideki Matsuyama is the Masters champion. Hideki, congratulations.
That's an awful call. Jim Nance
it
there, CBS.
Too corny for you.
Oh, God. The home of the rising sun has a son. The son's name is Hideki Matsuyama.
That was very Harry Carey of you.
Well, at this point, come on, Nance, really? Look, I have a segment I'm going to get to at 6:45. I haven't told you guys this. I have a segment called Sprague's Questions and Takeaways from the 2021 Masters.
Oh, I'm all about it.
And I want you guys to react and give me your thoughts. I have a beef with that call.
Was it worse than when Faldo sang Imagine Dragons the year that Patrick Reed won? Because he did that. If people don't remember, Patrick Reed won, and he sang the Imagine Dragons.
No, it's not. It's not worse. Or yeah, it was worse.
You think it's worse than that?
Because that's Sir Nick Faldo. Okay,
he can do whatever he wants.
He got knighted for God's sakes.
That was. I mean, look. Yesterday at the Masters sucked. Outside of maybe 45 minutes, I'll call a spade a spade.
Oh wow!
But watching
the whole tournament.
Not the whole tournament. Yesterday. Okay. Sucked.
Hold the takes because we got it.
Okay. You had an interesting start. You had interest for about two holes on the back nine, and then it evaporated quickly because Xander Schauffele totally imploded. But really, I mean, what an amazing moment. The first Japanese golfer, obviously not just to win the Masters, but to win any major championship. We know how much they love the sport of golf over there, and there's all sorts of angles about how much money that's going
to
mean for the golf world and
what
it's going
to
mean for golfers in that country. But a really, really cool moment. He's been a great golfer for a long time and a great ball striker. He just couldn't ever really figure out his putter, and he putted great this weekend. There he is, 4 days Masters champion.
All right, good stuff there on the Morning Crunch, brought to you in the fan by Crunch Fitness. Let's dive into the Masters. Blazers at 7. What did you make of the tournament over the weekend? Was it a dud? Was it cool? Were you in? Were you out? We'll dive into the Masters coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Monday morning here on Portland's Sports Leader. Coming up in 15 minutes, Sprague's questions and takeaways from the 2021 Masters.
Love it.
This may become a staple for our show.
Okay, I'm all for it.
I don't know if I've ever watched a golf tournament more than I watched this one.
The Masters is great. You get it once a year, so you got to soak up as much as you possibly can. The only disappointment was not having more interest on Sunday.
I kind of disagree. I'm push back on that one. Okay. So Hideki Matsuyama wins it. He becomes the first Japanese player to win the tournament. And as you mentioned, to win a major championship. And he pulled away, ended up winning it by one stroke because he bogeyed on 18. And Zalatoris, who I would argue probably had the biggest tournament of anybody
outside of Matsuyama.
He got off to a red hot start yesterday, and then he just lost it for a stretch on the back.
Yeah, he grew in fame and popularity this week. It's one of those BetQL sent us an email and said one of the faves to bet on with long odds was Zalatoris. I'm like, who's Zalatoris?
It's Happy Gilmore's caddy.
Yeah, he looked just like him. He looked like a bird.
He totally does.
Yeah, Matsuyama wins the Masters. So you seem like you're in the Masters was a dud 2021, because I feel like I've read or heard that the most. Just the tournament wasn't that great.
I would say that to me, I don't rope all 4 days in. I can always find things to be excited about Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Watching what Justin Rose did on Thursday was incredible when nobody else could get a ball to land on the green. Watching that was just like watching an art piece. Friday I loved because he came back down to earth a little bit. He shot an even par round. Everybody else caught up, and you had this great leaderboard going into the weekend. So I love Friday. And then even Saturday, I'd be curious to go back and look at the specific scores for Hideki before they had their lightning delay that lasted about an hour and a half. But he was off to a somewhat sluggish start. He was in the mix, there's no doubt. But then they had the lightning delay, and after that, he just went off. And watching him, similarly to watching Rose on Thursday, was a ton of fun because he just couldn't miss. Every iron shot he was putting inside 10 feet, he was draining birdie putts. There was a stretch on Saturday where they, in like 45 seconds, there was like two eagles and a birdie. There was explosions going off all over the course. It was a lot of fun, but I think I judge Sunday always differently than I do the rest of the rounds. And you want intrigue, you want drama, you want multiple people with a chance to win. And you had it initially because Hideki came out and you could tell, and he admitted afterwards that he felt the pressure on the first tee box. And he had a great warm-up session. He got to the first tee and then realized, holy S, I'm up by four in the Masters. And he hit his first, he took three wood out, hit it in the trees, ended up taking a bogey. So the gap shrunk a little bit, but then he bounced back with a birdie. And nobody else other than John Rahm was really able to go low yesterday. And if you had one of those guys, whether it was Rose or Spieth or Schauffele or Zalatoris, any of those guys, if they had gotten hot the way that Rahm did yesterday, I think you would have had a much more compelling just round. And then you had the back nine where Matsuyama hits it over the water on over the green on 15. It goes back into the 16 pond, which is a place I hadn't seen a ball go very often.
Well, he nailed it. That was a 215-yard shot, and he sent it 240 yards.
He was up, I think, on the 11th tee or the 10th tee. He was up six shots on the back nine, man. Like, that's a huge gap. And then by the time you get to the 16th tee box, he's only up by two. So you had that moment where you thought, here we go, this is going to be an awesome finish. It's a two-stroke lead, and then Schauffele hit his tee shot on 16 into the water. Takes, I think, a triple bogey on the hole, and that was all she wrote. There was no intrigue on 17, 18.
Yeah, I disagree a little bit in the, he had a big lead, and that was the, you wanted to see someone make the move. I thought Schauffele made a move. The unfortunate part is Schauffele choked.
Yeah, it only lasted, I mean, he birdied four holes in a row to tighten it up, but then you can't hit one in the drink on 16.
You cannot do that, and had he not done it, I think maybe we're having a different conversation about how exciting was the end. Oh, what about Xander winning?
Without a doubt, man. It had the makings of a classic finish.
It did.
And Hideki, by the way, bogeyed 16.
Yeah.
The hole that Xander triple bogey, Hideki bogeyed.
He struggled, yeah.
So, if you just par that hole, you got a one-shot lead going into 17-18. It's a completely different feeling.
Did you read the Wright Thompson piece on him?
I don't have ESPN Plus, so I read the first
20. I just need to give you my login. This is embarrassing. It's $5 a month.
I read 25% of it, okay? 25. I'm still a cable guy. What do you want from me?
If you don't have it, you read like 10% of it.
Okay, maybe it was that long. But there was a lot. I read for like 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden it cut off. I was like, really? What a dirty tease.
I'm kind of a slow reader. Are you? It's a good piece.
The start of it was phenomenal.
I just, when you get a guy who doesn't speak English, I think there's a natural pushback of, not really that interesting for whatever reason. And I think there was a part of that with him of he wasn't as familiar name with non-golf diehard. And, I felt like he wasn't getting enough love because he's been so good. He's been so close. And he obviously, as they noted, how many times won the amateur in 2011, became one of the blank amount of golfers that have won the amateur and won the tournament itself. Mm-hmm. So that was that really seven people total. Have won that. That's a pretty cool achievement.
Yeah, the low amateur score and then gone on to win the Masters.
And the piece, he makes him as relatable as any. He grew up in a bad economic time in Japan in the early 90s. Yep. His role model was Tiger. His dad got him into golf, bought a driving range. He grew up on the course. It was a really good piece by Wright Thompson. And kind of the pressure, too, like him and his wife. He's such a historic, beloved figure in Japan already. He's got no privacy. the tabloids write about how he's gained weight since he moved to America and why that is.
Right.
Everything he does. I mean, he is a god in Japan already, and now he's won the Masters. Here was Andy North on ESPN talking about what this could mean for Hideki Matsuyama financially.
Well, it's a golf-crazed country, and we're talking this would be winning the World Cup on steroids for Japan. I can't imagine the partying that's going on there right now. It's, I was fortunate enough to go over there quite a few times when I was playing, and the American players were treated like royalty. It was absolutely amazing, and to see how people respected great players, and now they have the Masters champion. It's going to be amazing. I mean, the current contracts he has, just add a zero to it. So, I mean, you can imagine the kind of numbers that are going to happen over the next 30 and 40 years for him.
How important is this win for the Olympics, given the fact it's in the same year for Japan?
I don't know why, but Keyshawn Johnson questions in there. I think Swag is confused by that one, too. But there's Andy North, and he said this over the weekend. I'm glad he brought it up. That win could net him $1 billion. I'd imagine he wins one more major. That's probably a done deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's the cultural significance there of being the first Japanese player to win a major tournament and to have it be the Masters on top of that. He is going to have his pick of the litter of any endorsement or deal that he wants. His humble nature, I think, is really awe-inspiring. He had a line in the post-game press conference yesterday where he's just talking and kind of in disbelief, can't believe he did it. And somebody had asked him, because the Olympics are coming up in Tokyo, and they discussed that a lot on the CBS broadcast. Somebody asked him if he's going to be a part of the Olympic team or a part, you know, just have a big prominent role. And he said, if I make the team or if they want me to be on the team, like that was his answer. And it just sums up his personality and his humble nature. And I thought that was evident as well when his caddy came out after one of the coolest images that I have ever seen in my entire life watching the Masters is when his caddy came out. They take the flag off the 18th pin. He'd keep that as a keepsake, put the flag back or put the pin back in the hole, and he took a bow towards the course.
Was that an S bow?
It was a good bow. It was a good bow. I thought that was an incredible moment. We had a listener that connected that to the way that somebody like Bryson has approached Augusta, saying it's a par 67 and I can conquer this course.
Yeah.
And somebody who wins and just showing the appreciation for the beauty and how difficult and how much he had to grind to get that win. It really was a remarkable performance by him, and it was the stretch on Saturday where if you didn't watch Saturday afternoon, I feel bad for you because it was some of the prettiest golf that I have ever seen.
On fire.
When he caught, you know, hot in the last, you know, nine or so holes on that back nine Saturday, you just felt like nobody's going to be able to catch him. He's always been one of the best iron players on tour. People have always known that about Hideki. He's come really close in a lot of major championships, and he had a chance in the PGA, I want to say 2017. He was tied for the lead or in the lead on Sunday. And he had a bogey stretch to come home, and it was really tough for him. He felt like he let his entire country down. So to play with that weight, hold on to the lead on Sunday, a remarkable win by him.
So, Igar, what did you think of it? Dud? Okay, tournament. Where were you at on the Masters?
I would have liked to have seen a little bit more drama. And guys kept putting themselves. Spieth got hot early.
You guys
Zella
didn't.
Torres,
okay, so what I'm getting, and I know we're against
Schauffele.
Yeah.
But nobody could. Schauffele was right there to do it, and then he blew up on...
But he had like a 3 or 4 hole stretch where he was kind of blowing up. Like, I was really wondering, he's going to blow a 4-5 stroke lead here. I guess I'm just a little surprised. I thought
never
that was
came closer,
good drama.
It never came closer than 2, though.
I know, but when you get to 2...
Oh, sure. I mean, it's within... But I'm just saying, by the time it got to 2, it disappeared in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But Schauffele hit his tee shot in the water, it was over.
Yeah, I didn't ever have the feeling that Matsuyama was going to have the one blow-up hole. Like, everybody else would have one hole where they doubled or tripled or it was coming off the rails. Mm-hmm. He had a bogey here and there, but...
He knew when to pick his spots for bogeys,
too. He just kept piping drives, and you're like, okay, unless he puts it in the water on 12 or 15.
One of my
favorites. Well, when he put it in the water on 15, that got my interest. It's like, okay, but he made bogey. You say bogey there.
Yeah, he did. Well, we'll go, and then I want to get to my takeaways and questions from the 2021 Masters. One of my favorite moments was after the rain delay, he comes out and... What did he birdie? 6 of his final.
Oh, it was crazy.
Eight or seven
he had an
or something
eagle in there too.
Yeah, you're right. And Nance goes, "What did you do during the rain delay that turned everything around?" He told the interpreter. Interpreter goes, "I sat in my car and looked at my phone."
Came out, I was hot. What do you want from me?
Probably right? Searched my name on social media. So Hideki Matsuyama wins the Masters, first Japanese player to win the tournament and a major championship. I have questions and takeaways from the 2021 Masters, and we're going to get to that next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, welcome back in. Are the Blazers imploding? They've lost four of their last six, three of their last four. They've got Boston, who just went on a 40-8 run and came back against Denver yesterday. That was, I don't know who watched that game, but that was on NBA TV. That was fun to watch.
I didn't, but I thought, hey, here's a little break for you. Denver's going to lose a game that they had no business losing. You got a chance to win. You pick up a game. Never mind.
No, short-lived.
Never mind.
Mike Richmond will join us, Locked On Blazers podcast at 7:30 for the Daily Ticker. But, you know, I wanted to have fun. I watched, it's the most golf I've probably watched in a tournament from Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah.
Ask me what I did Thursday, Friday. I was a useless parent.
That's what you do. I played golf after the show on Friday. You know what I did? I DVR'd all 4 hours and I watched it when I got home.
Did you really?
I watched every second of it, man. You only get 4 days and it's gone. The Masters gone. Now we got to wait till next year for this again.
Imagine having 4 days of the Super Bowl. We only get 4 days of
this. Right, exactly. You only have 4 days of NFL football? Come on.
Oh, yeah. So I started taking away some questions and notes that
Fire
I wanted to share
away
with you golf nerds out there. So if you would indulge me, Swigard.
Oh, yeah. Hello,
let's bring
friends.
It up.
Hello, friends.
Now, some of this you may have needed to watch from start to finish to follow some of these takeaways and or questions. But even for those out there who didn't watch all 4 days, here we go. Sprague's questions and takeaways from the 2021 Masters. First one. Brian Harman looks like a baby in his face, and he has the body of an 85-year-old.
Yeah.
His new nickname is the old baby.
He is weirdly small for the PGA Tour.
He's 5'7".
And if you want a funny anecdote on that, the wife actually let me rewatch on Friday night and was like okay with it because she likes watching golf. And she saw Brian Harman. You know what she said? God, he's small.
Yeah.
And I said, you better Google how tall he is. Because he might be my height. And she did. And she's like, no, you're 5'8". It's okay. I thought
she bumped it up.
You are Aaron on the side of danger right now.
Do you watch him walk? He looks goofy. Like an 85-year-old man.
Yeah, he was, I think a buddy of mine had a note say he's the only guy that looks like his sponsors don't pick out his clothes for him. Like he just kind of picks out his own outfit.
By the way, hell of a golfer.
Hell
I love
golfer.
Watching him play.
Hell of a golfer.
Jordan Spieth, I have come to the conclusion, not a fan.
Hating on my boy Spiethy, huh?
I don't hate him, but I just don't root for him. When he's at the top, I root for almost anybody else to win it.
Okay.
Because the media obsession with him is quite ridiculous. This dude's 9 strokes out, and let's go to Jordan Spieth. If he hits a long putt here, you better watch out there, Bob. I'm so tired of it. Could they root for anybody else harder than they were for Jordan Spieth?
Wow.
4 days of a Spieth fest. Dear God.
Well, the bro that you love the most is Bryson, and they showed every shot of his 6-over par yesterday.
Oh, get out of here.
Let's see his tee shot on 18.
They showed three shots.
They showed nonstop Bryson. And to be fair, when there's nobody else in the mix, you can't just show Hideki walking up the fairway on every hole. You got to show some other
golfers.
Maybe
I wanted that. Maybe I wanted Hideki. Give me more Hideki.
Getting the same treatment Tiger gets when he's 9 shots out of a tournament.
Yeah, you know the difference? Tiger was great.
Spieth finished 3 shots off the lead. I just want to point that out.
Yeah. Nice little back nine run there when it was out of
did have a great reach. Back nine run, yeah.
Is Rory McIlroy the most overrated golfer in the PGA Tour? I would say yes at this point.
Well, his swing's in a funk right now.
Stop and he's telling me how great he is and he's going to win a major. Dude shot like 8 over.
I mean, look, he has admitted such, and that's why I love Rory, because he's honest. Bryson got in his head, and he tried to speed up his swing and get more power and length, and it has got him wrapped up like a pretzel in between the years. So as of right now, yeah, I mean, it's hard to think of a guy that is who struggled more this weekend that came in with high expectations, although there were a ton of big-name guys that didn't make the cut, including the defending champion who set all sorts of course records. But I trust Rory enough, and he's not the kind of guy. He hasn't won a major in 7 years, but he's won a lot of big tournaments over the last 7 years.
I would
say
Finau right now is the most overrated. They keep saying how he's poised to win. I've never seen him be there, take advantage, but one time in
a regular
PGA tournament.
I'll get to that guy, but I disagree with you. Rory's like a top five bet every single major championship, and he hasn't been close. Xander choked. I'm sad about that because I love the X-Man. That's all. Xander's awesome.
Well, he's another one of those guys that has a lot of cracks at it, and he falters every time he has an opportunity.
Close, but no cigar guy. Justin Thomas, par 5, 13th hole, triple bogey. Never been more relatable as a golfer to me.
Yeah, that threw him out of contention. He was right there in the mix, and then he just imploded after that hole on Saturday.
It broke his brain. Were the folks at CBS upset at Matsuyama winning?
No.
No.
Do you think they were?
I think there was an element of that. Yeah. Did they get a bigger audience internationally? Sure. But I think there's an element of the CBS people. Again, they would have paid millions to have Jordan Spieth win. They wanted him to win so bad.
Well, yeah, Spieth winning is better for American ratings. There's no doubt about that. I think what people want, you just want a tight ball game going into 17 and 18. And when you have the last two holes of the tournament that are not, you don't need to watch. That's what they were upset about.
Colin Morikawa, what the hell happened? What was that performance? I had $6,000 on the line there, buddy.
Yeah, he can't putt. That's his problem.
Plus four at one point in his third round. Will Zalatoris got a lot of notoriety this weekend. The first golfer to wear size 26 pants while hitting the ball 300 yards. Fun fact. Bryson, you don't need to go the Bryson route to crush the golf ball.
That'd be wiry, man. And I'm glad that he didn't win. I don't like when guys win it that early. He kind of burst onto the scene a little too quick for me. I want Zalatoris to work his way up.
Fun fact about him, he supposedly in college, he had a fun getaway weekend where him and his buds played Augusta.
Yeah.
Boy, it must be nice to be rich.
Yeah, you can do that when you play college golf.
Billy
Horschel.
Billy Horschel, you need to smoke more weed.
Yeah, he's too fired up and he takes his pants off all the time. He did it twice this weekend.
Where does Siwoo Kim parring his final four holes using a 3-wood rank since he broke his putter? Where does that rank for moments at Augusta? Is that a top 10 thing?
No, it's not a top 10 thing because I thought it shouldn't be celebrated what he did to have to do that.
Boy.
You're in a major tournament. You broke your putter with three holes to go and you're not playing bad. That's an issue. You need to go see an anger counselor.
He told the guy who made the putter before the tournament that he wouldn't break the putter and that he broke the putter.
But he was like 4 under and 3 shots off the lead.
He missed a putt. Is there a golfer you trust less when they're in the hunt than Tony Finau?
No.
Okay.
No. Xander Schauffele's getting there, though. Xander Schauffele needs to win.
Vern Lundquist, you're a legend. You had an amazing career. You're going to go down as one of the all-time great voices of my life. I think the run's over.
I'm okay putting him on 16. Let him just talk about that par 3. I'm okay with that.
Who is the most recent American equivalent to Hideki Matsuyama? The athlete that made all the Americans have to watch TV and say, holy crap, go do that.
I mean, Tiger. I don't know if I can think of a... just in the golf world, at least?
On just in the world stage.
God. I think most recently it's Christian Pulisic.
Oh, you going soccer angle?
Well...
okay.
Where, because Americans have not been dominant at the highest levels in soccer, and Christian Pulisic went over to Germany and now in England and has got everybody's attention.
Okay, I'll let that one fly.
I don't think I'm following that story.
Yeah.
Christian
Pulisic?
I'm not
either. I know he's a big deal because he's the first American to be dominant over in European soccer, and he's a young kid.
Thought you guys were going to go Phelps or Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, did that get people riding bikes and swimming, though?
It's not about what it gets them doing, I guess. It's just more of the athlete factor.
USA.
We need to hear more golfers on the course. They need to be allowing that more often. I thought that was great hearing the caddy golfer narrative saying things I didn't understand. Loved watching that. Mm-hmm. And then Hideki Matsuyama versus Hideki Matsui. Who is the better Hideki?
Hideki Matsuyama is, for sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You win a Masters, you're the better Hideki.
Over Godzilla, huh?
You win it over Godzilla.
And Hideki can now get any Matsu baby mama that he wants in Japan from that win. Those were my questions and takeaways from the 2021 Masters. There you go. All right, hour two, locked and loaded. The Blazers appear to be imploding, and we got evidence of it next on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.